Tess Nissen, Wednesday the 20th of March, Rabbi Meir Zev Rappaport, Moror.
Yoshus, Kolakola Kodesh Hazeh. The title is Moror. It can be a bit misleading because you may think that I'm going to speak a halachic topic, and usually I do try and speak a halachic topic, but today it's not the case. Moror, bitterness, which is why we eat the Moror on Pesach, to remind us of the merirus of a morirus chayeyem. So, we know, though, that the Gemara in Tanis records an incident, a well-known story, about Nochum Ish Gamzu, who was chosen, Nochum Ish Gamzu was chosen to take a gift to Caesar's court, a chest of precious stones and pearls. And during his journey, staying overnight at an inn, the gems were stolen and replaced with dirt. And when Nochum Ish Gamzu, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out that Nochum Ish Gamzu wasn't called Rebbe Nochum. Why wasn't he called Rebbe Nochum? Why, where's his title? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Teretz says that Ish Gamzu is a grosser title than Rebbe. It's a bigger title to be called Nochum Ish Gamzu than to be called Rebbe Nochum. And when he saw that they'd stolen the gems and replaced it with dirt, he said, Gamzu le toivo, this too is for the best. And he arrived at the palace, and Nochum Ish Gamzu gives over this chest to the emperor without even the slightest hesitation, a chest full of dirt. And understandably, the emperor is enraged, claims the Jews are trying to mock him, and he decided he's going to have the Jews killed. Showing Nochum Ish Gamzu says, Gamzu le toivo, this too is for the best. And that night, Eliyahu Hanavi, disguised as a Roman emperor, a Roman official, suggests to Caesar as follows, could it be? Maybe that the Jews have given you the very same dirt that Avraham Avinu used when he waged war against the four kings. He threw the dirt at them and it changed into swords, and he threw the straw at them and it changed into arrows. And Ostoch HaPosuk in Yeshaya, the Posuk says, Yitein ka'ofol charboi kekash nidoif kashtoi, that he made his sword like dirt and his bow like wind-blown straw. So, the Romans hear this from this Roman official, and they tried it out on a city that they hadn't managed to conquer, and lo and behold, they were victorious, it actually worked. So, as a reward, the emperor gave Nochum Ish Gamzu a chest full of gems and sent him off in great fanfare. On his return journey, he stayed at the very same inn where the gems had been stolen. And upon hearing that he'd given the emperor the dirt, they decided they'll try the same thing. Why not? They wanted it all. But of course it didn't work, the emperor had them killed. This is the Gemara's story about Nochum Ish Gamzu, who whenever misfortune befell him, he appreciated that Gamzu le toivo. And soon you'll see why I'm being makdim with this story. In fact, Nochum Ish Gamzu's Talmud, Rebbe Kiva, teaches us the attitude that one should have when confronting life's difficulties. One should always be accustomed to saying, Zok the Talmud for Nochum Ish Gamzu Rebbe Akiva, Kol ma de ovid rachmona letav ovid, that everything the merciful one does is for the best. And we know the famous story the Gemara in Brachos records relates the well-known story of Rebbe Akiva, who was once traveling, and upon reaching a certain city, he requested lodgings in that city, and no one was willing to accommodate him. So he had no choice. Kol ma da ovid rachmona letav ovid, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best, he said, and off he went to sleep in a field. And during the night, the wind blew out his lamp, and he said, Kol ma da ovid rachmona letav ovid. Then a cat ate his rooster, Kol ma da ovid rachmona letav ovid, and the lion ate his donkey. Yet again he said, Kol ma da ovid rachmona letav ovid. In the morning, he woke up and he discovered that an army had captured the city. And were they to have seen his candle, or heard his animals, surely he would have suffered the same fate as the rest of the city. But this was Rebbe Akiva, who was always used to saying, Kol ma da ovid rachmona letav ovid. Now, there's an interesting svasemes. There's a pasuk in Mishli. The pasuk in Mishli says like this, Koivet even, v'neitel choy, v'kaas evil, kovet mishneim. Literally translated, Koivet even, a stone, even, is koivet, has weight. The natal choil, choil is sand. Sand has natal, sand has a mass. So a stone has weight, and sand has a mass. The kas evil, but the anger of a fool, Koveid Mishneim is heavier than both of these things together. And this pasuk needs an explanation. What is it? A stone has weight, sand has a mass, but the anger of a fool outweighs both of these things. It's heavier than both. Says the Medrash pshat like this, Zog the Medrash. Even stone, refers to Klal Yisrael. How do we know? The Chlepasuk says, Vayosef Mishom Roye Even Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are equated to an even, to a stone, even Yisrael. Koyveit is not, says the Medrash, Miloshin weight, but Miloshin Kovoid, honor. Says the Medrash, Koyveit Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, honored Klal Yisrael, over and above all other nations in the world. The NATO choy, what does that mean, says the Medrash? Choyu, sand, is also Klal Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, V'hoyo mispar b'nei Yisrael, the numbers of Klal Yisrael will be k'choy layom, like the sand of the sea. Netel choy, netel, is not an expression of mass, according to the Medrash, but miloshen netilo, to take, to pick out. Netel choy, says the Rabbeinu Shloilom, I picked out Klal Yisrael from all the other nations of the world, and I said, says the Medrash, that whoever touches Klal Yisrael is kviyochel touching the apple of my eye. So, koyved even, HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored Klal Yisrael over and above all the other nations. Neitel choyl, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked out Klal Yisrael from all the other nations. However, kas evil, their anger of a fool, paroi's anger, Paro's obstinacy, Kovid Mishneim, outweighs both of these things. What does the Medrash mean? Says the Sfasemes like this, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Klal Yisrael suffering in Mitzrayim, the merirus, the bitterness of Klal Yisrael, he truly wanted to free Klal Yisrael from Paro's bondage. But he couldn't. He couldn't because they had no merits. They had no schusim. They had sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. So, in spite of the fact that Koyved Even, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored and respected them over and above all other nations, that wasn't reason enough to free them. And the Netel Choyl, in spite of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had picked them out from all other nations of the world, that also wasn't reason enough to free them, because they'd sunk to such low depth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to find some sort of way to get them out. So what did the Rabbeinu Shloim do? He hardened Paro's heart. And Paro became obstinate. And he became angry. And he made it worse for Klal Yisrael. They would have to start finding their own straw. Heim, Unesheim, Uvneim, Uvnoseim had to all endanger their lives to find straw. And the Medrash describes how the brittle desert straw pierced the soles of their feet. So now, says the Sfasemes, even though Klal Yisrael didn't really deserve to be freed because they'd sunk to such a low level of Tumah, but Paroi definitely didn't deserve to keep them due to his obstinacy, due to the fact that he'd made it worse for them. So, the honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accorded Klal Yisrael was not cause enough for them to be freed. Nor the fact that he had chosen them and picked them out over and above all the nations, that couldn't grant their redemption. Only Paro's obstinacy, Paro's anger, was the reason, was the very cause and reason for the freedom of Klal Yisrael. Says the Sfasemes, Fezoistes Sfasemes, Gamzu Letoivo, the terrible misfortunes that befell B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim was the very cause and reason for their freedom, because Kol Mada Ovid Rachman Letav Ovid. And that's pshat in the pasuk, according to the Medrash, says the Sfasemes, Koyved Even, that the honor that Klal Yisrael accorded, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accorded Klal Yisrael, the Netel Chol, the fact that he chosen them, they have weight, they have a mass. Yeah, they mean something. But that wasn't reason enough to get them out of Mitzrayim. Kas Evil, Paro's anger, Paro's obstinacy, Paro making a worse for Klal Yisrael, Kovid Mishneim, that outweighed both those things. And that was the reason why Klal Yisrael was freed. So it turns out, says the Sasemes, Gamzu Letoiva, the misfortune that befell Klal Yisrael was the very cause and reason why they were freed from Mitzrayim. That is, Kol Mada Ovid Rachmon Letavada, the Gamzu Letoiva. There's a Gevaldike Maisa. I've said it over a couple of times, in the neighborhood in Golders Green, and then if it's filtered down to you, in April of 1944, there were two Jewish heroes. One of them, his name was Rudolf Werber, and the other one's name was Alfred Wetzler. Alfred Wetzler. And these two Jewish heroes, these two good Yidden, they actually, in fact, weren't religious, they weren't from Yidden. But we'll see soon what gewaldige Yidden they were. They both escaped from Auschwitz concentration camp. And subsequently, they wrote up the report, which was called the Werber-Wetzler Report, which was passed on and got to the Allies. And historians say that this report, the fact that they escaped from Auschwitz and sent this report, was the cause of over 200,000 Jews, 200,000 Yidden being saved from the concentration, from the gas chambers. That's what the historians say based on the research they've done. What happened was as follows, that they recorded all the details about the camps and where the train lines were and everything. And in fact, to this day you can see the diagrams that they wrote up, Werber and Wetzler. And Erev Pesach was actually April the 7th. They climbed into a hollow that had been prepared for them in a pile of huge logs, which was stored in between Birkenau's inner and external barbed wire perimeter. If any of you have been to Birkenau, one of the camps was called Mexico. So to build Mexico, this was before Mexico had been built. I was told that when I went to Auschwitz, the reason it was called Mexico, if I'm not mistaken, was because it was built much later on, towards the end of the war. By then, the Nazis didn't have clothes, pajamas for the Yidden to wear. So because a lot of them had to wrap themselves with a blanket, so they looked like Mexicans. So this was the bitter humor of the Yidden. They called the camp Mexico, which was why one of the other camps was called Canada. The camp where they sorted out all the suitcases that came in was called Canada. Why was it called Canada? Because Canada, where there was wealth. So there, in that camp, where they had the suitcases, where you could find a piece of bread and a piece of soap, so they used to smuggle it out into the main camps, so it was called Canada, because Dorten had given a gewirische camp. It was a rich camp, like Canada. About Kolponim, between the inner and external barbed wire perimeter of Birkenau, there was a storage area. And there was huge logs. Now, logs, we're talking about huge, gigantic logs that were piled up. And they had arranged with the Russian workers, non-Jewish Russian workers, to create within this pile of logs a hollow. That means there was a hollow inside the logs where they would be able to escape into those hollow. And then there would be a three-day search once it's discovered that they're missing. There would be a three-day search with soldiers, with officers, with barking dogs. And they would hide in these logs until the search had finished. Then they would continue their escape. They doused themselves with petrol in order that the smell, the dog shouldn't smell them. And they hid themselves inside this huge, huge pile of logs. And they got the Russians to place on top of them three layers of logs on top of them. So they were hidden in this hollow. And they waited there for 3 days under three layers of logs as they heard the search parties and the barking dogs searching for them. And towards the end of the three-day search, the way it used to work was that after the three-day search, if they couldn't find them, the presumption was that they'd escaped, and then they would inform the authorities outside the camps. So it was towards the end of the three-day search, and as it was towards the end of the three-day search, their worst fears seemed to materialize. What happened was, they were starving, they were weak, they were emaciated, and Fashtetzach, they were emotionally drained also. And they, as two guards, suspected maybe they're hiding between the logs, under the logs. And they started climbing up, the guards, and they started pulling off the layers of logs. And the guards pull off the first layer, and they pull off the second layer, and they're about to reach the third and final layer, and then the siren goes off to announce the end of the three-day search. The officers jump off, and they disappear into the dark. And as night fell, they prepared to climb out. And they started to climb out. There was only one slight problem. They were so weak by now, after 3 days, and everything they'd been through, that they didn't have the strength to push the logs. These logs were huge logs, you can imagine, from what trees they were taken. And they simply didn't have the strength to push off the logs. But when there's a will, there's a way. They pushed every centimeter by centimeter, they pushed mamash, millimeter by millimeter, until they managed to extricate themselves inch by inch, and they succeeded. And it's a long story how they continued, and the nisim that happened to them, and how they survived and escaped and got through. But that's not for today. And due to these two heroes, over 200,000 Yidden were saved. Now, if we can imagine their feeling, when those guards were hovering over them, like angels of death, removing those logs. Imagine the dread and the fear that was going through their minds. But, if you think about it, Gam Zura Toiva, because they themselves testified, that had the guards not removed those top two layers, they would never have managed to extricate themselves from their would-be tomb. It would never have happened. Vashon Teik Vrosom, that's where they would have been buried, Ada Yoy Mazeh. So, this was Hein Chashavur Leroh, at the time, when the logs were being removed, they feared the worst, but Gam Zula Toiva, in fact, that actual fact that they removed those two logs was actually their Hatzolah, that was their saving. That's what saved them. And this is a poshita yesoi, there's no chidushim over here. That this is the way of the world. That we only see a small segment, we only see the two logs. We only see the two logs, we don't see the future. Mitz Hashem, Bekoriv Mamash, BePesach Nigalu, BeNisn Nigalu, BeNisn Asidim Nigoyel. Once the Gula Shema comes, Bekoriv Mamash, we'll be able to see Umono Horetz Deo. We'll be able to see, we'll have no shyness, we'll have no questions, we'll understand why it was Gam Zula Toivo. But this is the message of the Medrash that says, Koivet Evin Venetel Chovekas Evil Kovet Mishneim. That in fact it was only Paris' obstinacy, Paris' anger, which was the very cause and reason for Klal Yisrael to be freed. It was the bitterness, it was the merirus, that is what caused Klal Yisrael's freedom. Gam Zula Toivo, this is the message of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now I always find that I'm not sure who to blame for this, but there's always a misconception about Seder night, because from a young age we come home with all sorts of lomdus and divrei Torah that we say about the Haggadah, but in a sense we miss out the main focus of the Haggadah, which is the main mitzvah is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, to say over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is the mitzvah, to simply say over the story, which is why I always advise people should buy, whether it be in Lashon HaKodesh, whether it be in English, whether it be elsewhere, to buy poshut the Midrashim and the stories about Yitzias Mitzrayim, because that's what we're meant to be doing, saying over the story with all its intricacies. Why do we want to say the story? So the Geonim, the Rishonim already ask a question about Halal on Seder night. Why do we not make a brocha of Likroy as a Halal to read Halal? And Reb Chaim Goen Zokta Yesoid, and Reb Chaim elaborates on this Yesoid, that the format of Halal on Seder night is Nishkan Kriya. We don't read or say Halal, but it's a Shiro, it's a song of praise to the Rebbeinu Shloilo. And maybe we don't say a brocha. And it's a Pasuk, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Ashir Yi Elohem, that the shir, the song, will be to you Kaleilis Halis Kadesh Chod. As we say in the Haggadah, the Noy Malefon of Shiroch Adosho, that the Halal on Seder night is not an Amir, it's not a saying, it's a song. But why is it a Shiroch? And why don't we make a Brocha Loshu as a Halal? And why do we say Shiroch Adosho, which is a new song, why don't we just say Shiroch? Now Reb Chaim says, brought down a name of Brocha, B'Shem the Briskarov, interesting Yesoi, that if a Novi would come, a Novi, a prophet, or a person who's got 100% bitochen that a nes will happen to him, you still can't say Shiro before the nes actually takes place. And he builds it on the pasuk that we all know, V'ani b'chazdecho b'tachti, yogei libi b'shuosecho, o Shiro la'ashem, ki gomal oloi. That ani b'chazdecho b'tachti, I trust in the kindness of the Rebbeinu Shloilom, and yogei libi b'shuosecho, and my heart exults in your salvation. But Ashiro Lashem, I will only sing Shiro to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Ki Gomal Oloi, only once he has actually dealt kindly with me. So Rav Chaim says that you cannot sing a Shiro unless it's after the fact, after the Yeshua, after the salvation. You can't sing a Shiro before the salvation. And the Yesoid is, because the idea of a Shiro is a spontaneous outburst of song. That is a Shiro. A Shiro, the Yesoid of Shiro, has to be a spontaneous outburst of song. Why? Because the Yesoid of Shiro is that when a person has just experienced a salvation, a miracle, a nes, whatever it may be, on his own flesh and blood, on himself, the happiness and the joy and the thanksgiving that he will feel will be so great that he would burst out in the spontaneous song of praise to that person, to his benefactor, and in our case, it's the Rebbeinu Shlodom. Umimele, Shiro cannot be before the act, it can only be afterwards. Even if a person knows the nes will happen, he can't sing Shiro. The Shiro can only happen once a person feels that freedom, once he feels the Yeshua, the Absalom. And that is the Yesoid of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Haggadah says Abu Ram is Meloshon Hoido Veshevach to the Rebbeinu Shloimam, as Yerushalmi says, Igadati Hayoyim Lashem Elokecha by Bikurim Shvachis Yoyim Adam to praise the Rebbeinu Shloimam. As the Zohar says, Kol Ba'anosh Dishtoye B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Uba'ahu Sipur Chodi B'Chedvesa, rejoices in narrating the story. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chodi B'Hai Sipur. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea is, Va'omar lahoin Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to the Pamali Shemalo, Zilu Shmu Sipurim de Shvacha Dili. Come and hear the stories of my praise. And that is the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to say over the stories of the praise of the Rebbeinu Shloim. Which is why we say afterwards, Lefikach anachnu chayovim lahoidu yisrahal v'shabeach. We think, we give thanks and we praise and we pay tribute. And we glorify and we exalt and we honor and we bless and we extol and we acclaim. Those are the words we use, lahoidu yisrahal v'shabeach l'roimim lahadeh. Because that's the tachlis of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But a person can't praise and can't sing a song of joy unless he's actually just been freed. You can't sing a Shira unless you felt yourself the salvation. Umimela, that's why we have to say over the story, with all its intricate details, in order that we should feel it, we should relive it, we should re-experience it, we should picture it in our minds, we need to experience the avdus, the slavery, and the chedus, the freedom, the yogoin and the simcha, the grief, and then the joy. The evil, the mourning, and then the yont of the festivities. The afeil of the darkness, and the oigodon, and the great light. The shibud, and then the geulo. And that's why we say, that afilu kolonu chachomim, kolonu nevoinim, you can be the biggest godel in the world. Kolonu yoidim esatoiro. It's not enough to know it. You need to feel that I was just freed. Because oitzonu oitzimisom. Arianu voneinu vnei voneinu mishibodomeinu leparib mitzrayim. And that's why it's a Shiro Chadosho. It's a Shiro Chadosho because every year we experience the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which takes place every single generation. There's many, many rise to that, but we have no time. So the idea of Shiro Chadosho, it's a new song of praise, the spontaneous outburst of song. Or when a person has just been freed from Mitzrayim, he will sing, he will burst out into song, as Klal Yisrael did, Oz Yoshe Moshe V'nei Soros HaShiro HaZois. So of course you can't make a bracha on it. Because it's a spontaneous outburst. It wouldn't be spontaneous if you have to stop and make a bracha. You just freed. So, let's make a bracha now. You're going to make a bracha afterwards. Adarabe, it's a spontaneous birth of song. It happens automatically. The heart exalts. That is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which means a person has to have a gewaldic imagination. That he has to sit on the night of Pesach and imagine himself going through the shibud. And then going through the geula in order that he can burst forth into a beautiful song of praise. To finish off with a gewaldike vault, we find it which was said over like this. There was a melamed called Reber, and the melamed Reber was teaching his talmidim. And he was teaching his Talmidim the Kapitlin Tehillim of Bochi Nafshin, The kapitel that we say in Rosh Chodesh. And Bochi Nafshi describes the beautiful Bria, the beautiful creation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in the middle of the kapitel, it says, Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem, Kulon B'chochem Osisom Ol Oretz Kinonecho. And the Melamed Reberu, asked his Talmidim, and he said, what's the Pshat David HaMelech in the middle of the Tehillim, says, Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. How Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. That posuk, that is the thing you should have waited to say at the end of the kapitel, not in the middle while he's describing the beautiful creation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he finishes describing, he should finish off and say, Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. So the Melamed told his Talmidim a gewaldike vort. He said, David HaMelech was imagining and looking at the Bria of the Ribbono Shel Olam, mitazai spilus, with such unbelievable a spilus, at the Bria of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he couldn't contain himself. He couldn't wait to the end, Poshet. In the middle, he burst out into a song, a description of Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. He was Poshet, he couldn't contain himself. Who was this Melamed Reberel? This was the Mezrich HaMagid, the famous Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezrich HaMagid. So the Shinev HaRov said, based on this vort, he wanted to explain, also, we say in Oz Yoshir, we say, Michomoicho ba'elim Hashem, Michomoicho ne'edo ba'koyesh, and then we continue, Notiso yeminicho tivle emoretz. So in the middle of the Shiro, we say, who is like you, who can compare to you, amongst other gods, Hashem? But that's why we say it in the middle of the Shiro. The Shiro continues to describe the gewaldic miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed. Michomoicho ba'elim Hashem should have waited to the end. Said the Shinev HaRov, based on this vort of the Mezrich HaMagid, the same thing, that Klal Yisrael had such a spilus, such a gewaldik isoirus of thanksgiving to the Ribbono Shel Olam for what he was doing to them, that they couldn't contain themselves, they couldn't hold themselves back from saying Michomoicho Ba'ilim Hashem. That's why they didn't wait to the end. They couldn't wait to the end. They burst out into a song of praise of Michomoicho Ba'ilim Hashem. Shez the Shinev HaRov, Medem Efshekem Efashtein, in Yoyim LeYabosho, the song that we sing, by a bris, by Suda's bris, the Loshen is that Yedidim Roy Memucho, that Yedidim, your friends, Klal Yisrael, Roy Memucho, they exalted you. Beshiro Kidmucho, they greeted you with song. Michomoicho Hashem Bo'elim. So he wanted to say, Efshe Pshat is Yedidim Roy Memucho. How did Klal Yisrael exalt? How did they raise the Ribbono Shel Olam? How were they meroimim the Ribbono Shel Olam? Because b'shiro kidmucho, they were makdim the shiro of Michomoicho Hashem Ba'elim. They didn't do it. Wait till the end. They couldn't contain themselves. They burst out into a song of praise of Michomoicho Hashem Ba'elim. As it was Shimron Zok. With this, to finish off could be that which the Mefolshim ask on the Haggadah. As they state in Amanik in the Motchan Abu Drom, why is it that we say the Hallel, we split the Hallel into two on Seder night? Why don't we say all the Hallel at the end? Why do we say the first two kapitel at the beginning of the Hallel before we say the Kiddush and then we say the Haggadah and then we say Bichasanaz and we say Hallel? Why do we split the Hallel into two? So there's many answers given. The Levush says, the Prima Godin says that part of Hallel has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Memelu, we join it up to the Haggadah rather than waiting until afterwards. And there's a few different answers, many answers given to this. But I thought, that part of Hallel which has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim, the reason why it's set straight after the Sipur, and we don't wait till afterwards, is for this very same reason. Because a person who is Mekayim, the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, as he is meant to, that means that he has said over the story with such imagination that he himself feels that he was just freed from Mitzrayim, then he would automatically burst forth into a song of praise of a shiro chadosho to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Umemele, that's why Chazal placed it straight after the Sipur, that part of the Hallel of the song of praise that we sing to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim, we say straight after the Sipur, because a person would automatically anyway do it if you were Mekayim the mitzvah properly. And this is the message that I'd like to finish off, is that the Divrei Torah and Seder night, rather than involving ourselves maybe with the Lomdus and with the Vertlach, the Biskarov once said such a thing also, he said, Das Hagute Wort, Aber was hat das mit Zippi jetzt erst mit rein? That's not the story. The aside is to say over the story and to imagine it and to read Let My Nation Go and to read all the Oscar HaGadus and to read the Lashon HaKodesh HaGadus in order that you can see the story with the Midrash and with all the stories and this way to be able to feel it yourself. And Mitz Hashem, we should take a bizoicha to the Gula Shema B'Korim.